You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Old Lady Speaks podcast on the Fans First Sports Network. I'm your host, Danny, coming to you for episode 224. If you want to listen to this episode, as well as future episodes, feel free to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform. If you do listen to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, feel free to leave us a nice five-star rating and review. I see on Spotify we're inching closer to 200 ratings. So maybe we can get to 200 ratings before Juventus' next win. I don't know. That might be in another month at this rate. I don't know. Anyways, as I am kind of alluding to, another week where, well, Juventus don't win. So let me bring in here Sam Lopresti. Hello, Sam.
At least we didn't lose. I don't know.
We'll get to it. But yeah, that's kind of my feeling too. Chucks. Hello, Chucks.
Hey guys, quite the podcast episode again to talk about. I don't know, another disappointing day, but yeah, I've run out of original things to say, so yeah, let's just get to it.
All right, well then it'll be a short one because Chucks doesn't have anything original to say. Unfortunately, I'm kind of feeling the same way, Chuck. So you're not alone. So Chuck, since you don't have anything original to say, your takeaway from what we watched over in Sardinia.
Yeah, that's basically my takeaway as well, honestly. there's really nothing, I don't know. I've really run out of like different things to say about how we're playing right now. I mean, I will say, I guess I'll say this as a somewhat original takeaway. It's been a while since we've seen Allegri do riskier substitutions, riskier being just beyond straight subs for like, you know, like for like subs. So I think this Cagliari game was interesting in the sense that it was the first time in a while that I've seen him really kind of roll the dice pretty early on with substitutions. So that was good, I guess. Unusual. Yeah, something I haven't seen in a while. But yeah, that's the best I can come up with. Sorry, that's the best I got, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's still amazing to me just how much this team will lower itself to the level of its opposition. Like, you know, Cagliari's not good.
No.
Like, really not good.
Another few results, and they're definitely in a relegation fight.
Yeah. And so, to end up down 2-0 at halftime to freaking Cagliari. I mean, come on now. I mean, we know that Uncle Claudio is a decent tactician, but seriously? Yeah, I mean, it's a lot like you, Chucks, in that it's just hard to come up with different ways to talk about this because it's just been the same thing for 3 months. I guess it was, like you said, a little bit heartening that he, you know, kind of went for things with subs as the game went on. Although by the end of the game, it felt like that was basically just like throw every single healthy forward onto the field and see what happens. But yeah, that's the thing is that there doesn't seem to be any coherence about any of this. You know, Juve gets a bunch of possession this time. They still don't know how to break down a defense. that's a coaching problem. They looked checked out for a lot of this game. I just think that these guys are, I think these guys might just be a little bit mentally fried in terms of what they've been going through these last 3 months. And I think they want it to be over with, like we all do. You just gotta hope that nothing really stupid happens and that we end up in sixth place.
I want to basically kick off the discussion with two things here. Is that first, just a mind-boggling statistic that kind of puts things in perspective as we've been basically talking about here these last 3 months, just how Juve have not only fallen, but fallen in the manner that they have. And this is from Antonio Corsa on Twitter, is that Juventus in their last 14 games, 14. So mind you, this goes back to the middle of December where things were still pretty damn good. Juventus have collected 18 out of a possible 42 points. And for the listeners, Chuck's, since this is obviously an audio medium, first and foremost, Chuck's is just shaking his head out of just complete befuddlement. And then I want to read you the beginning of, I believe he's the director of Tutto Sport, Guido Vassiago. His lead from his column off of Friday's game was, with enormous effort and unwatchable first half, a technically mediocre and tactically delirious performance, Juventus won their 12th point in 11 games. Average of relegation fighting, no less, in which they have won only twice. I mean, it's really kind of to the point where you're wondering how much this team really is there, not only mentally, but just, I mean, now we're seeing the physical mistakes really creep in and impact them. I mean, you know, you can say, well, Dusan Vlahovic missed two really good chances last week. Okay, sure. But now they're mistakes that are leading to other teams' goals, not preventing their own team from scoring. So, I mean, we'd be sitting here talking about another loss if it wasn't for an own goal scored on Friday night. And really, at this point, if Juventus are relying on own goals to get a point, Jesus.
Yeah, this would all be well and good, like a performance like that or a game and result like that, if it was, you know, Champions League final against Manchester City or something. I'll be like, okay, you know, it was tough, but, you know, we fought hard and got back from 2-0 down. Yeah, great. But, I mean, against Cagliari, I mean, come on, it's... Yeah, I mean, it's embarrassing. I mean, we've just gotten so bad. It's almost like, I mean, it's almost laughable, really. It would be laughable if we were not obligated to dissect the game and actually, you know, analyze things and, you know, actually have to talk about it rationally. But we do. So it's not quite comical. Yeah, I mean, I like I said, I don't really know. Yeah, I don't really get it. I think the players have also mostly checked out. Like you said, Sam, there's what, five plus at least one. So yeah. Six games remaining and hopefully a seventh if we make it to the Coppa Italia final. But yeah, I mean, their players are done. I've been hearing more rumors or kind of grumblings about Chiesa reaching his breaking point with Allegri, his mental breaking point with Allegri. I mean, in a way, it's kind of impressive that none of the players have said anything out of line in the press, because this is the type of scenario, really, just with how bad it's been, that usually these are the types of situations where somebody just loses it and just says some stupid stuff in the press, or their agent does. So I guess I have to commend the players and the agents for, really just staying professional enough to at least just not make the situation even worse than it already is, because I think the last thing we need right now is media attention, negative media attention, because there already is that kind of with Chiesa and Allegri, supposedly, which wouldn't surprise me fight.
It's something that reportedly dates back to last season, so this is nothing new, at least when it comes to Chiesa's frustration with being played out of position. And obviously this year, it's even more to the extreme where it's 3-5-2 or, you know, outside of one half, 3-5-2 or bust. So, yeah, it's, I mean, the video that came out a couple days after the Turin Derby on DAZN really just spoke to just his frustration about everything. I mean, you can just, I mean, as we like to say, he is as expressive as anybody just because that's who he is. But I mean, just the frustration, I'm sure it's individual and then Allegri and then team frustration, just everything. Just, you know, the perfect storm was really kind of that substitution against Torino. And I mean, who can blame him? Who can blame him?
Especially since, like we said last week, in the Torino game, he was the best player on the field.
Right.
And he came off first.
The first thing that popped into my head when he was not subbed off was, Max is just doing this out of spite. Like, see, he's not the first sub this time.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just my conspiracy theory ways.
Well, I thought it was interesting just from a kind of tactical perspective that Cagliari really, really targeted the right, well, our left-hand side, so their right-hand side with their attacks, which, yeah, again, that was interesting. Just looking at the kind of positional stuff and the just the percentage of attacks that went through their right, again, our left, was more than half of their attacks went down there, which,
What attacking, at least before Max threw on every healthy forward possible, that would have been what, the Cambiaso, Rabiot, Danilo side of the field?
Correct. Yeah, correct. Which, yeah, again, that's, I'm not sure why. Maybe they knew that. Well, it's weird because this was the one time that Cambiaso was playing on his, I guess, natural left-hand side. So, which meant that he would have less of a tendency to drift inside because he does that more on the right because obviously, you know, drift onto his stronger foot. But yeah, I wish I had an explanation for it. I have no idea why, but I do know, if I remember correctly, yeah, it was that's where that penalty, the second penalty, came from Luvumbo running at the speed of light down that kind of inside left, our inside left. Or was it in?
No,
flipping it around. Well, yeah, no.
Yeah, he beat Gatti there.
Yeah, he beat Gatti there. Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, scratch that then. Still, though, I thought that was the speed. His pace there was just pretty extraordinary. That was one incident. Like, the first penalty was just clumsy from Bremer. The second penalty, the exact foot race, the duel between the two, between Luvumbo and, I guess, it was Gatti. You know, I kind of forgive him there because, I mean, I think he started to run like level with Luvumbo, and then just, man, the guy just blitzed past him.
Yeah, but he was also out of position and should have probably sealed that ball off before it even got to Luvumbo, which, you know, we've said this a couple of times, but if your defense is not handling things, what is the point of Max Allegri? Like, yeah. If your defense is not doing proper defensive things, and this is Allegri's calling card, then there's absolutely no point having him on that bench. And you know, between that and just the fact, I was going over things, some statistics today, and this one thing that kind of really floored me was going into this game, in our last four league games.
Yes.
We had scored one goal.
Yep.
And it was Federico Gatti that scored the goal.
Yeah. So no goals for a midfielder or a striker in a month.
Yeah. And even with Vlahovic today, it was a freaking good free kick, but it was a free kick. So, you know, you haven't seen a striker or a defense or a midfielder score from open play in more than a month.
Yeah, I mean, Vlahovic had, I mean, I know it was more league than, yeah, he scored against Lazio in the first leg of the Copa semis, but kind of quietly had gone 2 months without a goal. I mean, I know there should have been some goals in there for sure, but it's like I didn't realize it until the match announcer had mentioned it in the early minutes of the game, where it's like, oh, he's on one of those streaks again. You know, you don't amongst all the misses, you kind of don't realize that, oh yeah, that's the result of all the misses, is that suddenly he had gone, it was what, late February that he hadn't scored in Serie A. So it's like, oh, we're kind of going there again.
And in the meantime, missing some just glorious chances in some games, as we've talked about, and as I focused on last week, so I won't focus on it too much this time. But just, you know, not only not scoring goals, I think it's one thing to not score goals. I think last season, where, you know, he obviously struggled in front of goal, but I think there was more of a sense that, you know, we were playing in a way that he just wasn't getting any opportunities, you know, or very few opportunities. This time, at least between this whole February, just this kind of 2024-ish, last two-ish months, it's definitely not been for a lack of chances, not for a lack of big chances anyway. So I think the narrative has changed there a little bit, but at least he's good at free kicks. So that's always kind of a get out of jail card, you know,
which is something you don't always associate with like traditional number nines that Vlahovic is. And I mean, Trucks, you mentioned the big chances missed. Just for the record, Dusan, according to SofaScore, Dusan Vlahovic is number one in Serie A with 18 big chances missed.
Wow.
Let me just pull up for other reference here. Dusan Vlahovic, obviously, 16 goals scored now. He is still outperforming XG, but when we had the Dusan-specific episode a few months back, he is now slightly outperforming XG by about half a goal. So it's at 15.54, scoring every 126 minutes. So at least according to XG, Dusan is basically where he should be. Some of those free kicks are such low percentage shots that it's like, yeah, okay, well, you're not exactly going to get a healthy dose of XG with that one.
Yeah. And he's, you know, it's funny because we didn't expect this until he started doing it last year. I think mostly because Cristiano Pidaghi takes all the free kicks at Fiorentina, so he never really did this.
Yeah.
Like, but just the fact that, you know, and to shift a little bit back towards this game, was just what the tactical idea of this game was supposed to be. I'm still searching for it. You know, basically it was, you know, get the ball wide, put crosses into the box. Okay, if you're doing that, why is one of your best aerial threats in Weston McKennie not starting in this game?
Right.
Why is Weston McKennie not starting in this game, period, when you consider the fact that he's basically your best creator this year? Who would have thought that we would have said that at the beginning of the season, but it's true.
Right.
And then, and also, you know, there were all these suppositions before the game that, you know, Alcaraz was going to be playing basically as a trequartista, that there was going to be an alteration to the formation. It would be kind of a 3-4-1-2 or something like that. And then no, he's just plugging and playing Alcaraz for Wes and for reasons. And it's, you know, a coach's job is to get your players to a higher level as a collective than they are as individuals. And I don't think there has been one game this year, maybe the Lazio game, the first Lazio game this year, where you can look at a game and say that was achieved by Max Allegri. I don't think that there's a game you can say that about this season. I don't think there's a game that you can say that about any of the games that he's played that we've played in these last 3 years. It's just reductive, and it is dragging down a team that, no, is this the team that went to Berlin? No. In terms of talent, this is not that kind of a team that doesn't measure up to either of those final teams that made to the finals. But they're also not a team that should be going into the half 2-0 down against Sampdoria, against Cagliari. They're not a team that should be punting on games against Torino or 0-0 against Genoa. You know, there is a level of talent on this team that just isn't being brought out. And, you know, you have to, you wonder more and more, does the next guy that comes in here, what's the plan both tactically and also mentally, just get these guys out of this funk, because they just don't look like they're having any fun.
Well, I mean, to go off of that, it really, at this point, to see a team not only playing the way they are, but also just absolutely crawling to the finish line, it's got to be, Chuck's, I would assume, pretty predictable and easy to figure out how you're going to attack Juventus at this point.
Yes, and it's also a mental game because, you know, the players are so mentally shot. And this is relegation form that we're playing right now in terms of, you know, the last 2 months or so. It's, you know, it's not an exaggeration to say that this is relegation form football that we've played. So more than just the tactical sense, like you said, of how to attack Juventus, it's almost just more of a mental thing. Like, look, let's just go press them hard and just harass them and just, like, I don't know, be in their faces and you know, that intangible sense of aspect of football where it's not as much about tactics, just more about that.
Just punch them in the mouth once and then we've got it, you know?
Yeah. There's that kind of mentality. And like
with any sport, if you're not locked in mentally, that's when the physical and mental errors start to really kind of come to the fore. You know, they become just more prevalent. Whether it's a Vlahovic missing goals he should be scoring, whether it's Federico Gatti not being positioned correctly, whether it's Bremer, and I mean, I take a little bit of solace in the fact that maybe that handball wasn't totally his fault. I mean, I see people going, oh, he's turned into Matthijs de Ligt. Well, he was also trying to not get taken out by one of his teammates when the ball struck his hand. So I don't know. I cut him a little bit of slack, but I mean, it's just, I don't know. Continue, Chucks.
No, that's really, that's all I had to say, really. I think which again kind of follows my theme of just frankly being, we're so bad that I'm basically speechless, really, which is a bit of a problem on a platform in which we are, right, you know, paid to speak. So that's a little difficult there.
Can I bring another thing into this game?
Go for
because
it.
Because there's one thing that could have changed this game dramatically. And that is, why wasn't there even a VAR check when Yerry Mina hit Alcaraz with a back elbow and busted him the fuck open?
This was, I felt like this first half just speaks volumes to what is wrong with Serie A refereeing and how they operate VAR. Dude's head couldn't stop bleeding.
Yeah.
Yet you get VAR checks for basically every other 50-50 call. And it's just like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, the standard of officiating in Italy, it's gone down so much.
And this wasn't like what we saw with Chesney last weekend, where it was very much an accidental elbow to the face. I mean, this was Yerry Mina, I mean, doing what you're taught as a defender, going up for the ball and getting your elbows out. It just so happened his elbows struck Carlos Alcaraz right on the top of the head.
And he's a big guy too, Yerry Mina.
And Carlos Alcaraz is not a big guy.
Yeah.
No.
Though they speak the same language, so they probably exchange some words.
Yeah, there's what, a little South American bad blood there, because was what, Colombia and Argentina?
Correct. Yes. Yeah. But no, I mean, in terms of the decision, strange. I mean, I don't really know. I never really understood, and probably haven't researched it enough in depth. So, you know, I'll take some responsibility there. But I never entirely understood the whole clear and obvious error criterion for, you know, VAR. I know that that's the phrase that determines, you know, when slash how slash if.
I don't know what's more clear and obvious than blood.
Yeah.
And an elbow to the head.
Yeah.
And not a stray elbow, an actual elbow.
Yeah.
Did they? I don't know. Obviously, there wasn't a lot about that first half that was memorable. Did they technically even look at it? Like, I know he didn't go to the screen, but did they even look at it?
There was never a little stripe that said checking on the on the screen, which you normally see if they're even taking a look at all, unless he like looked at it so quickly that there wasn't even enough time to make the graphic. But you know, at that point, you're just wondering what the hell are the standards for looking at it when, you know, again, blood. Yeah. Like, dude did a Brock Lesnar elbow, and the officials are just like, he didn't mean it. I mean, I get that this is a contact sport, and I, you know, you know, as much as they've been trying to make us forget that over the past 10, 15 years, but you've got to look at that. You just have to.
Absolutely. I feel bad for Alcaraz just because of, you know, this is his first start in, I don't know, some time. And he's obviously not gotten much time to play at all. I mean, now we have, again, only 6-ish games to play. Lord knows. I mean, is he going to stay? Is he going to, you know, or are we going to extend the option? Are we going to give him another, or extend the loan for another season, or just cancel the loan, or buy him outright? I mean, it's hard to tell based on what, 7 games that he's played, or all appearances anyway, which I mean, I don't have that number right by hand. And then we play arguably the worst first half in a long time, which also feels like a sentence I've said multiple times recently. And then unfortunately, he's the one sacrificed to, you know, bring on a more attacking option. And when, you know, like he went for bust to try and salvage something from the game. So I feel for him. I mean, it's just a unfortunate situation for him.
Yeah, unfortunately, those four forwards, that four forward lineup wasn't the same four forward lineup that we saw Marcello Lippi go to in the World Cup semis against Germany. So, that was a little bit better. You know, no Del Piero, Totti, Gilardino, all those guys. So, shall we go to some Twitter questions, gentlemen, to wrap this thing up?
Let's do it.
All right. First question here from at Gio Juve 2107. What is your realistic in-out list for the summer?
Oh, geez.
I think Sam's first out list is Max Allegri.
Well, yes. but I think that is, you know, obviously we're talking players here. I mean, Sandro will not be renewed. Uh-huh. I think we can put him on the out list for sure. It wouldn't surprise me to see Filip Kostić gone. I am deeply praying that we keep Matthijs Sule after he comes back. It wouldn't surprise me, though, if Illing Jr. might get sold back to the Premier League. I'll do 3 outs. I'll do 4 outs because I think Miretti's going to get loaned. I think that this is the time for that. I don't know, because it's going to be interesting to see what we do, what our budget is. A lot of that is going to be dictated by just who gets sold and by who is managing. And also, you know, you never know if Cristiano Gentoli is going to, you know, do what he always does and find some dude that no one knows about who's going to end up, you know, being an 82, 83 in EAFC the season after he buys him, you know, because he's that good and nobody just knows him. You know, this is still a team that's going to have to be working around the margins for the next couple of years, for the next, at least this year. So we'll have to, it really is a wait and see. I think if you're going to give me, if you had to twist my arm, if Thiago Motta arrives, it would not surprise me to see Joshua Zirkzee come in. I also think Ricardo Calafiore is going to come in regardless.
Yep.
I think that there is so much smoke on him, on Juve, you know, engaging with his people and with Bologna about him, that I think he's in. Ferguson, obviously, they're going to wait on him now. And, you know, I'd love Tan Coop Miners, but that is such a high dollar.
You feel like his performances have basically priced out Juventus.
Yeah.
No matter who they end up selling the summer to both balance the books and fund the transfer market.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Premier League is going to come calling, and when that happens, as we've seen the last few years, that usually rules out Juventus.
Yeah, I'll kind of answer the question more from positions rather than like exact players. I mean, I second the list of outgoing players. I think that's basically spot on. I'd say probably Milik as well, and Moise Keane. I forget if you mentioned those two, but. Yeah, those are only two I can think of in addition to your list. The rest, I mean, yeah, largely agree with the rest. And I mean, I guess I don't expect Rabiot to renew. So I think he'll just leave just by just, you know, letting his contract run out for the second time in his career. or third, maybe? I don't know. At least second. Well, possibly third. Yeah, in terms of incoming, like I said, I'll kind of speak more positionally. I'd say probably a striker. If I mean, Milik and Keane are leaving and you're running a little thin on center forwards there. Yeah, a central midfielder or two, probably. I mean, let's remember that Fagioli will be coming back, so that will be like a new signing. So, yeah, a central midfielder or two. I'll say one of which at least creative, and another more defensive kind of destroyer, maybe type of midfielder. And yeah, for the rest, it's, I would say also a center back, because Danilo is probably going to start reaching, you know, the end of his career. I think he has maybe a year or two of good football left in him, but, you know, then he's going to be winding down, of course. So, I mean, if that means bringing Housen back from loan and kind of integrating him more into the side.
That's another wild card.
Yeah. I would hope so, but I just don't know. I mean, yeah, who knows? I think that'll be the most frictionless option for the kind of that Danilo replacement. But yeah, who knows? And I think the rest really just depends on what coach we get, more in the sense that what formation we're going to play. Are we going to stick with the 3-man back line, or are we going to 4-man back line? I think that really determines kind of who's coming in and who's coming out. But regardless, I mean, I think it's pretty likely that Allegri won't stay. So there's going to be probably a significant change in tactics. So that makes it a little more difficult to kind of say, okay, you know, who's coming in, who's coming out. So.
All right, next question here from @Amin_SIB. I'm not sure how much with a grain of salt we should take this, what I'm about to read, but here goes nothing. Hey, guys, with Giuntoli's comments and the Ronaldo fee, yes, Cristiano Ronaldo is back in our lives one more time. I'm starting to feel that we should start accepting that Allegri's adventure is far from over. Sandro and DeCilio, renewal to follow.
I mean,
oh, God. Oh yeah, DeCilio is another player we forgot about.
That's
him.
Been a that I've seen a couple of speculations about that you know, the Ronaldo judgment makes it impossible to drop Allegri. The fact of the matter is, you have to. there is no other option at this point.
You're paying him either way.
Yeah, you're paying him either way, unless, you know, unless Allegri has a sense of honor and agrees to a termination of some kind, or, you know, like I mentioned this in my in the article that I wrote in the over the international break, if Luciano Spalletti lays an almighty egg this summer at the Euros, then maybe Allegri's the next man up there.
Oh man.
But I think that it will cost Juventus more in the long run in terms of players that they will lose, in terms of players that they will lose out on, in terms of recruitment to keep Max Allegri, than it will be to fire him regardless of the team's financial situation. There's only a year left on the deal. I do not think that this is going to that this is going to go another year. I really don't. I think Gintoli is going to come in. He's going to want to get his own guy and really take control of this, of things in this clubhouse and in this front office. I don't think that money is going to be an option, is going to be an object this time around.
Yeah, I agree. I have nothing to add. On the Decilio and Alessandro, I mean, joke. Like I said, we did forget about Decilio. I imagine he will also leave, probably amicably, because he's been a good guy, and you know he'll leave without too much of a fuss. Actually, Sandro as well. I mean, for as much hate as he's received, he's been a professional. He's been a good guy, and you know, I don't expect any kind of fuss there, unless we, you know, come to find out 3 years later we owe each one of them 10 million euros as well. So,
it's not Alexandro's fault that an appearance clause was built into his contract.
Yeah. Good point. Well, that's true. I don't imagine either of them will be extended. I mean, surely not. Worst case, I mean, I don't know. Do both their contracts run out this summer? I'm not sure if they do. I mean, if they don't, if they run out the next year, then the worst case that I would see is that they would say, no, we're going to run out our contracts. If they don't expire this summer. But Sandro says, okay, yeah. So then I imagine that we'll just kind of go our separate ways there. And with Decilio, yeah, I mean, again, worst case scenario, he'll say, no, I'll just run out my contract, which he is legally allowed to do. And that would be, I mean, as much as it would irk us, it would be, I mean, perfectly allowed.
You never know, Chucks. He could pull Leonardo Bonucci and threaten legal action.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah, like I said, there's probably another 10 million Euro.
And things have obviously gone well for Leonardo Bonucci since leaving Juventus. So I say that tongue-in-cheekly, of course. But last Twitter question here from @ThePiombino. When does Allegri officially apologize for waiting until the second half down 2-0 in the 33rd match of the season before giving Chiesa, Vlahovic, Yildiz significant playing time together? I don't know,
he
but Max kind of did.
He did something wrong.
Yeah, I was going to.
I mean, he did. Max did say he should have changed everything, including himself, which is kind of the first bit of self-awareness I've seen from Max in a while. But then again, Max also said the goal isn't the Champions League, not top four, which until a few days ago didn't make much sense. So, right. You know. As we've been saying for weeks now, what Max says both before and after games, maybe not take it to heart all the time. I don't know. I feel like I'm saying I don't know a lot on this episode, and I apologize to listeners. It's been that kind of season.
Yeah. Like I said, I also have run out of things to say, so that's I relate.
This last month of the season worth of episodes, they're going to be good ones, guys. If we run out of things to say, I tell you.
Chock full of hot takes.
And that's right. All that. That's right. We need Sergio. Yeah. We need Sergio back just to be the agent of chaos again and make us say wild things.
Yeah, indeed. But like you both kind of alluded to, this was, I think, the first time, I think the commentator noted that too, the first time that the four strikers had played together at the same time. So, you know, Milik, Vlahovic, Chiesa, and Yildiz. It was for, well, I mean, Yildiz came off and came on at halftime, so there's that, and then Milik came on in the 74th minute, so, you know, good 15, 16, 17 minutes.
Yeah, with stoppage time, it ended up being over 20 minutes.
Right, so. Right. So that's probably the most you'll get, ladies and gentlemen.
A lot of good that did.
Yeah. But that's probably the most you'll get of those four playing together. Which, again, I mean, that was pretty gung-ho, just given the,
right,
the, you know, situation. But I think most of us are just asking for, I don't know, most of us are just asking for Chiesa to play in the correct position. That's right. Really the bare minimum.
Or for something more adventurous to not happen when you're down 2-0 to a 14th place team.
Yep.
Right, Samuel?
Yeah, pretty much.
There you go. Give me that energy.
There you go.
I mean, there's not much else to say. It's just
Yeah. Envy our jobs, people. Envy
That's
our
right. jobs. That's right. You two could say I don't know countless times on this podcast.
Yes.
That's what you come here for. I don't know.
Yeah, I forgot. I think some Chinese proverb somewhere, some in 6th century
Chinese
BC
proverb,
somewhere.
I don't know.
Well done. Touché.
Juventus proverb, I don't know.
No, but I'm sure some proverb somewhere, some Chinese proverb from, like, I don't know, 200th century BC or something. I'm sure that said something along the lines of, you know, wisdom is like to be humble enough to say that you don't know or something like that. So anyway, I guess we're showing.
Look at that. Look wisdom. Look at my humility right here. I don't know.
Yeah. I pulled it back there from, you know, the I don't know part. But yes, that I think is some kind of wise proverb from someone.
That's right. Well, on that note, I know that we'll be wrapping things up for this episode. Thank you all for the Twitter questions. Always appreciate them. You can send them to us at Juventus Nation on the Twitter machine. You can follow us there. Follow the Fans First Sports Network at Fans First SN, fansfirstsports.com for all the other podcasts around the network. If you want to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast and platform, feel free to do so. If you do listen to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, give us a nice 5-star algorithm friendly review. So for Sam, for Chucks, for Sergio, and for producer Couch, just a day saying thank you very much for listening. And we'll talk to you guys, I know this for a fact, in a couple of days.